Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Help us to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Father, we pray that the word of God might be accompanied by the Spirit of God, in order that the things of God might be moved on in our lives, and in order that those who know thee not might gloriously bow the knee in repentance and faith and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us then, Father. Help us by thy Spirit. Forgive us our sins for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. We read from God's word in John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Let us hear the word of God. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, Is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, it is he. Others said, no, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the man. So they said to him, then how were your eyes opened? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and receive my sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, is this your son, who you say was blind, was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age, he will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So for the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, whether he is a sinner, we know that this man is a sinner, he answered. Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become one of his disciples? And they reviled him, saying, you are his disciples, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, why? This is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshipper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, are we also blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains. Amen. I draw your attention to the chapter I read. That's John chapter 9. And I want to continue the theme that I started this morning about the difference between Jesus and religion. So that's what I'm going to focus your mind and attention upon this evening. The difference between the Lord Jesus Christ and religion. You know, you get these official forms that you have to fill in. You get them for all sorts of reasons. And when I was the pastor of the church in Rumney, I had to fill these forms in for one reason or another. And there's only one category that fits the work of a pastor on those forms. And it says this, it's a minister of religion. I don't like it. I object to it. Because I wasn't and I'm not a minister of religion. And the very thing Jesus warned about us so often is religion. And it's the exact opposite of true gospel work. And nowhere is that expressed more vividly than in John chapter 9. The following chapter, John chapter 10, makes clear that the main point of this miracle, and I won't read it again, you know it so well, don't you? The main point of this miracle story is to contrast Jesus with religion. And there are a number of crucial contrasts here in this story. The first is this, that religion is powerless. Jesus alone can bring real change. And that's the most basic lesson. You know that the fact is that the man was not healed by going to the Pharisees. And he could never be healed by going to the Pharisees. Verse 7 says, we are told that Siloam means sent. And really, that represents Jesus as being the sent one. And it was only in obeying the Lord Jesus Christ, in going to the pool, that the man's needs could be met, his physical needs. And as you know, the Lord Jesus Christ gave the man physical sight. And it's also the Lord Jesus Christ only who can cure our spiritual blindness. Nobody else can do it. The Lord himself and him alone is the only one who can cure our spiritual blindness. And it's good news. That's the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he alone can cure our spiritual blindness. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 to 6, some of my favourite verses in the Bible. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we will commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And that's what preaching is meant to do. It's meant to commend. We are meant to commend ourselves to everyone's conscience. True preaching speaks to the conscience, okay? In the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," this is wonderful, "has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus." Right, you can't stop, can you? Right, they can't stop. He says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts." What for? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And Paul says in Romans 1:16, talking about it is only Jesus who can bring real change. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And then he says in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power." This dynamite, dunamis, isn't it? You know, power. "But also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance." So the first contrast is this, between religion and the Lord Jesus Christ, is this, that religion is powerless. Only Jesus can bring real change. The second contrast is this. Religion is all about merit. Jesus is all about grace. There's the contrast. Merit, grace. Look at verse 2. Look at what his disciples say in verse 2. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" You see what the disciples were doing? They were representing pure works. Religion. What they were saying was this. In their eyes, you get what you deserve. And that's the simple formula for understanding God. Praise God, the Lord Jesus shows that God is the opposite. We don't get what we deserve. He's in the mercy business and not in the merit business. The Lord Jesus is in the mercy business, not in the merit. And what's mercy? It's grace in our miseries. In other words, the Lord doesn't look upon me and say, oh, he's a good fella. Yep, that lady across the road, he does this. He's not in us prison. He's not in God's prison. You know, no. No. You see? Mercy is grace in our miseries. Have you seen that? Glorious, isn't it? Don't wait until you're better. You'll never come at all. Come as you are. Sinners, Jesus came to save. Mercy, religion, merit. The Lord Jesus Christ, grace in our miseries. Remember Martin Luther? Everybody's got to mention Luther this year. He nailed the theses to the door at Wittenberg in October. I can't wait until October to mention Luther. Remember Luther? He wanted peace with God. And he thought it was his righteousness that would bring him peace with God. And so he entered a monastery. He deprived himself of food. He wore a hair shirt. He climbed the stairs of the steps of a church in Rome on his knees, trying to earn righteousness. And then he read Romans 1, 16 and 17. And he saw that righteousness was a gift from God and not his own. And he was converted. And Germany was changed. And Europe was changed. And the Reformation burst forth. You know that expression? I took Rian and my daughter to Geneva. I don't know if you've ever been there. And there's a wonderful statue of the Reformation. And it's a figure of all the famous characters in the Reformation. On the top of it says, post tene brass lux, after darkness, light. Lovely, isn't it? God grant that Wales might be able to say that expression. After, post tene brass, Latin, I did a bit of Latin in school, I think. I didn't do very well, but I did a bit. Post tene brass lux, after darkness, light. And Luther saw it, and one man was converted, a nation was changed, and the continent of Europe was changed. So religion is all about merit. Jesus is all about grace. Thirdly, religion operates through fear. Jesus brings new courage. This man's parents were religious. And because of that, they were bound by fear. Look at verse 22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. But you see, this man had met with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he becomes more and more bold as the story progresses. Look at verse 28. I'm sorry, it's moved. I've got it. And they reviled him, saying, you are his disciples, but we are disciples as Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, why? This is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet you open my eyes. You see, he's getting more and more confident. And the story goes on. We'll come to that in a minute. So the fourth reason is this. Religion is all about keeping rules. Jesus is all about loving people. Verse 14 to 16, the Jews did not, I'm sorry, I've got a new Bible here, and Verse 14, now it was Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he has received his sight. And he said to him, he put mud on my eyes and I washed and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. You see? Religion is all about keeping rules. Jesus is about loving people. The Pharisees had only one concern. Have the religious rules been kept? Think of it now in human terms. They had no compassion on the man. Think of it now. If you knew somebody who was blind and he could now see physically, think of it. You would rejoice, wouldn't you? You'd say, that's wonderful. Just on human terms. Oh, it's marvelous. And as a Christian, you'd praise God. But you see, the Pharisees, that's all they were concerned about was he'd broken the rules. There was no joy in them at the healing. Is that religion? See what religion does? Is this wonderful thing that's happened? This man has received his sight. And they say, oh, wait a minute. It happened on the Sabbath. And they, it's wrong. It happened on the Lord's day. They had no compassion on the man. And there was certainly no joy at his healing. And religious regulations, they were dominated by, and that leaves little time for the needs of the individual. God grant that people do not see us like that. Rules are important, I know. But God grant that he sees us as people who are concerned for the people themselves, isn't it? You know, you're concerned for the individual. You're concerned that he might be saved. But you're concerned for the man as a whole, aren't you? That's the fourth difference. The fifth difference is this. Religion closes minds. Jesus opens them. Here's a test. And I'm talking to myself. God grant that I might never become unteachable. Isn't it awful to get to that state? It's a dreadful danger. God grant that I never become unteachable. Religion closes minds. Jesus opens them. The Pharisees knew full well, didn't they, that a miracle had been performed? They knew. But their minds were closed. Their minds had been darkened by the God of this world, as I said. They knew. But they resolutely refused to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was contrary to what they previously believed. But this simple man's spiritual eyes, they were opened step by step, as I said. And finally, he sees fully. Perhaps you're like that. Are your spiritual eyes being opened step by step? You don't see fully at the moment. But God grant that, like this man, those steps lead you seeing fully who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Listen to what he says in verse 11. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and I receive sight. Verse 17, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. You see, his eyes are being opened step by step. And some people are converted gloriously like that without any background, any other information. Other people, you may be one of these. Your eyes have been opened step by step. Providence has come into your life in various ways, and God uses those to open your mind, your eyes, to see who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Verse 33, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And then the blind man says in verse 38, and he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. What about you? Have your eyes been opened? Praise God if they have. Are your eyes being opened? Praise God that he started a work in your life. Who else could raise the dead? Who else could walk on water? Who else could make the deaf hear? Who else could make the blind see? Who else could multiply food? Who else could control evil spirits? Who else could know all about a stranger? Who else could forgive sins? Who else could give us new life? Who else could do all this? No one but the Lord Jesus Christ. The sixth difference is this. Religion is about exclusion. Jesus is about welcome. Now, here's a test for us, isn't it? Huh? And I go to a church and I can spot it straight away. This is a welcoming church. I can say that to you because it's true. Okay? When I come here, you are a welcoming people. It's important people on the door, isn't it? A friend of mine, he's gone to glory now, but he was on the door in Hebron when I was there, and he was a customs officer, and he was the exact wrong person to be on the door. He stood there like this, and you thought he was searching you for contraband as you went into the church. And I told him that, isn't it? You know, like, and he did change a bit, but anyway, you know, we as God's people must be a welcoming people. Verse 34 and 35a, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. See? That's what religion does. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, see, he went seeking for him. See? Jesus welcomed him, didn't he? The religious people threw him out. They wanted nothing to do with him. I picked up this recently, and I'd like to read it very quickly. By one of the Puritans, Dr. David Brown says, to be under the law is to be under its claim to entire obedience on pain of death. To be under grace is to be under the glorious canopy and saving effects of that grace which bringeth salvation. Here are the contrasts. Law gives the knowledge of sin. By the way, you're clear about the role of law, aren't you? There are three forms of law, aren't there? There's the moral law, there's the ceremonial law, and there's the judicial or civil law. And as you know, the moral law refers to the Ten Commandments. And they're permanent. And they're binding in all ages and upon all persons. Okay? They're binding. What's its purpose, the moral law now? Is to restrain the ungodly behavior of the unrighteous within society. The tragedy is that laws in Britain are encouraging people to behave in an unrighteous manner, isn't it? Tragic, isn't it, really? And the purpose of the moral law is to convict the sinner of their need of Christ. School teacher, isn't it? You know, pedagogue, that type of thing, you know? You look at the law of God and you can't keep it. You can't keep it. You've got no chance of keeping it. And so you should flee to Christ for salvation. And the third purpose of the law, the moral law now, is to provide a binding pattern of living. The regenerate believer in God. So we're not antinomian, are we? Antinomian is against the law. Nomos is law, isn't it? Antinomian, antinomo is against the law. Now, we as Christians are not against the law, are we? But it's not our keeping of the law that saves us. The other two laws, just to digress a little bit, but it might be with me saying this. So the moral law I've spoken about. And then there's the ceremonial law. And really that refers to the offerings and the sacrifices prescribed by God, specifically for the temple and the tabernacle in Old Testament times. And it's been entirely abrogated, hasn't it? The ceremonial law. And then there's the civil law. That's the third type of law. That refers to the case law of the Israelite nation in the period from Moses to Christ. And this civil law was all but abolished when the state of Israel ceased to be uniquely a theocracy. So back to the moral law, and this man, David Brown, says this: law gives the knowledge of sin. Not a bad thing. Law gives the knowledge of sin. Grace gives the knowledge of salvation. Is it? Wonderful, isn't it? There's a difference. Law says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Grace says, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, and so on. Thirdly, law is something, here's the Pharisees, law is summed up in the word do. Grace in the word done. I like that. Law summed up in the word do. Grace is summed up in the word done. The Lord Jesus Christ has done it all for me. He who knew no sin became sin, in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He who knew no sin, you see. That's glorious, isn't it? Law pronounces condemnation. Grace proclaims justification. Justification, a forensic act of God. The judge says, you are not guilty. Is it? Law says, pay me what thou owest. Grace says, I freely give thee all. Law addresses the sinner, do this, and thou shalt live. God addresses him with, live, and thou shalt do. What a difference. Do you expect a non-Christian to behave like a Christian? Of course not. What you do is preach the gospel to him. And when he's changed by the gospel, it's then that he lives a godly life. That would be progressive. You see? That's important that you can't expect an unbeliever to live a life that is pleasing to God. It's preaching the gospel, the grace of God. And then comes the obedience to the law of God. Because Christ has loved you, you want to obey him. It's not a question of being forced to obey him. You want to become more and more like him, don't you? Okay. Law addresses the sinner, this do, and thou shalt live. Grace addresses him with live, and thou shalt do. Law, and this is the Pharisees, law regulates the outer conduct. Grace, the inner. We can fool each other, can't we? Yeah? It's easy to fool each other. God grant that none of us are hypocrites, you know? God grant that none of us are putting on a face in public and being somebody different in the house, for example. There's an expression in Welsh, I'll try to translate it. It says, he's an angel in the pulpit, but a devil at home. Look at that. Dreadful thing to say, isn't it? Huh? He's an angel in the pulpit, but he's a devil in the home. Law regulates the outer conduct, grace the inner. Law says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Grace says, blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed, happy is the man whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sin is covered. And two more. Law demands by the terror of the law. Grace by the love of God, of Christ. Finally, law slew 3,000 at Sinai. Grace saved 3,000 at Pentecost. There's the difference. So, what I've said is the contrast between religion and the Lord Jesus Christ. Religion is powerless. Jesus alone can bring real change. Religion is all about merit. Jesus is all about grace. Religion is all about keeping rules. Jesus is all about loving people. Religion closes minds. Jesus opens them. Religion operates through fear. Jesus brings new courage. I'll tell you a story about a man in Rumney. His mother was a fanatic Roman Catholic. And he was he came to the church, but he never committed himself to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then... Why? Because he was fearful, see? And the priest had been at him, see? But then, gradually, he put that in perspective. And he came and witnessed to his mother and to the priest. And he was gloriously converted. That's wonderful, isn't it? So, religion operates through fear. Jesus brings new courage. Religion is all about exclusion. Jesus is all about welcoming people. Just one final point, which I think is important for me to mention, and that's this. We as God's people need this reminder. Our default position as every Christian, and particularly for every Christian worker, is religion. And we do not preach religion. And we must be careful that we communicate Christ and his grace, and not religious rules and religious duties. What people can hear from us is either the loving welcome of the good shepherd in John chapter 10, if you want to read that on tonight. They hear from us the loving welcome of the good shepherd, or the proud rejection of the Pharisees. We should pray that we become increasingly people so personally touched by God's amazing grace that and that alone is what we communicate to the lost world around us. God's amazing grace to sinners in Christ alone. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Amen.